Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. That's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.
Karen, thank you so much for coming today. I'm so happy to have you here with me. And if you can tell me who you are and what you have been doing and what's your background.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. I am currently based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I actually was born and raised in Pennsylvania, but I haven't lived here for quite a long time and moved back in 2020. And I am a 25-year veteran, which is hard to believe, of the residential construction industry. I decided at a pretty early age that I really enjoyed thinking about the design of homes, had imagined that I would probably grow up to be an architect. And for a variety of reasons, I went into engineering instead and ultimately focused on construction management in an architectural engineering program. And I have been in a project management capacity of home building, new home construction in one form or fashion for pretty much my entire career. I was in the field as a superintendent as soon as I got out of college, which was a great way to start my career. It's one of my strongest recommendations to young professionals who want to be in this industry to get boots on the ground and get out there and really be a part of what's happening on site, because that's where the magic happens. And that's also where a lot of things can go wrong as well. And we're a lot better at mitigating those risks when we understand what that world looks like. And then I've also been spent most of my career in project management on pre-construction services. So I managed the architects and engineers and worked very closely with my coworkers for the builders that I worked with who were contracting the work. So the three-legged stool that we refer to in the industry of plans, specs, and scopes, those were my babies. it was my job to ensure that our projects were biddable and buildable, and to ensure that we had quality bids, no change orders, no delays. Most of my career, I worked for production builders, and so it's a very fast-paced construction schedule. Mm. It's extremely important that you have all of your ducks in a row and that your budgets are tight. Mm-hmm. And so in the early 2000s, I became very interested personally in realizing the intersection of our industry and its impact on the planet. Mm-hmm. I became concerned about that. I wanted to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And I was fortunate to be working for a builder and developer who agreed to allow me to do research into the third-party programs that were mm-hmm. really kind of coming into the forefront of our industry at the time. So Energy Star, the National Green Building Standard, and LEED for Homes. Mm-hmm. And I was really pleasantly surprised to realize that it wasn't going to take a whole lot of additional effort for us, for that particular builder, to be able to build a better home that was certified. Mm-hmm. And that was due to the fact that we were already building a high quality home and that we were building in locations that are really much lower carbon footprint, because we were building in cities close to transit, close to infrastructure, and very high density projects. These were all, you know, city living townhomes. And so that was that was kind of the beginning of my becoming very passionate about green building and high performance building. And I got all of the designations that I could, you know, got all of the letters behind my name and just really immersed myself in education and understanding, again, all of the aspects of how these homes come together, the, you know, what the design team needs to understand, what the subcontractors need to understand and be trained, how we would change our sales and marketing materials, our even our homeowner maintenance manual. You know, we had a very robust homeowner maintenance manual that we would give to folks to help them understand how to care for their home after they moved in, and even going in and making updates to that, you know, mm-hmm. and ensuring that our warranty team, our customer service team was more familiar with these more complicated HVAC systems or, you know, new products and materials. It just, everybody was touched in some way. Good or bad, whether they liked it or not, everybody in our internal organization and all of our external partners needed to be educated and empowered and supported on their changing role. And I really embraced that. I really enjoyed being able to talk about it and help educate others and help people understand the difference that we were making, you know, the mm-hmm. good that we were doing. Mm-hmm. So I was really fortunate, as I said, to work for several builders who were very supportive of this, very interested in doing the right thing. You know, that was part of something that we'll probably talk about a little bit further later, mm-hmm. is that sometimes it just takes people to just say, this is the right thing to do. This is a commitment that we have as an organization, and we're going to do it. And I was fortunate to work for builders that had that attitude. And then a few years ago, I decided to leave corporate America, if you will, and mm-hmm. started working as a consultant, just as a solopreneur, freelance consultant to the industry. What I realized was that as a production builder, as I said, it's so important that the pre-planning is done very, very well. Because if you have a $1,000 mistake in your budget, that becomes a $300,000 mistake mm-hmm. overnight. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem that you can't continue with construction because something isn't going together the way it was supposed to, or somebody doesn't understand what they were supposed to do, brought the wrong materials, etc. That delay on one home, to have a delay by a couple days, you can probably deal with it. Mm-hmm. When it's, you know, when it turns into 300 homes that have a delay by a couple days, every minute counts. Yeah. So I realized that I was really good at this because it was really important that I be good at this for production builders. And I wanted to help bring that level of discipline and appreciation for the pre-construction planning process to smaller builders and contractors. Mm-hmm. Really help them see the value of earlier planning, earlier communication with other people involved in the project, better bid packages, you know, better opportunities to go over a complicated detail with their trade partners, you know, well before the design is completely, you know, finished and permitted. And so that was my goal with my business, was to mm-hmm. really support small builders in this. Mm-hmm. What that really ended up leading to was what we refer to as operational efficiency. Mm. It really turned into more of helping them to work on their business, not on their projects. In other words, you know, how do you manage your projects? Who is responsible for what? What, how much time are you allowing for this phase? What are the steps involved? You know, do you have a checklist? Do you have templates? You know, how can we really ensure that you are going about this thoughtfully? Mm-hmm. And so really a lot of the consulting that I've been doing has been more on the business versus mm-hmm. projects. And I've been able to do that for builders of, you know, code, you know, standard code built homes.
Right.
I've also been able to do it for high performance builders. I have not been picky in who I work with. You know, I really just am very, in addition to being passionate about high performance homes and I definitely love to support that, I'm also just very passionate about a better experience for everyone involved in building a home, you know, even if it's not a super fancy high performance mm-hmm. home. I want people to be able to enjoy their Saturdays and Sundays with their family. I don't want them to be working 80 hours a week. I don't want frustrated subcontractors. I don't want, you know, bad opinions of builders and contractors, you know, that's kind of a challenge for us sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Always the best reputation. So I really want to help builders be better.
Thank you so much for that history. It's really fascinating and I'm so inspired because I know that construction industry is historically, traditionally male dominated. So you being a woman and bringing this sustainability idea and green building ideas, how was it met by the industry? Like who your clients who are builders, I mean, how do you think was it received? Like, especially in the beginning, now that you have track record and you have a very strong qualification, I'm sure that people respect you, but did you find it difficult?
Well, when I first started pounding the drum of green, the builder that I was working for was so supportive and there was such a great team of people that mm-hmm. I could rely on to help me communicate this message and to be supportive. I think that was part of what helped, you know, mm-hmm. to answer your question. Mm-hmm. I think though also my, I value understanding and education and knowing, but mm-hmm. I also really value and hold myself responsible for saying what I don't know when I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what allowed me to be successful is that, you know, it was very easy or, you know, I was quick to admit to someone, you know, I hadn't thought of that, or we need to look into that, or I understand, you know, this concern and thank you for bringing that mm-hmm. to my attention and let's work on this together. And just being more receptive to, mm-hmm. Hearing people out and working mm-hmm. through it together mm-hmm. versus shoving it down their throats.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you do for your clients. When you are working as a consultant, working with large or smaller builders, what are their concerns? What are the if there is any? I'm sure that's getting better these days. But what are the main objections that you encounter from those builders about going green or building green or, you know, practicing what we call green building principles? Mm-hmm. Sustainable building. Yeah.
Sure. I think the biggest concern for people is, boils down to cost and complexity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the cost is, of course, something I know you understand as well and you've talked about as well, that changing the mindset of mm-hmm. both builders and consumers mm-hmm. from upfront cost and also right. thinking about cost per square foot, which is what right. our industry loves to focus on.
Right.
Changing the narrative to a life cycle cost and really understanding, you know, what you're going to save in utility bills and mm-hmm. maintenance and, mm-hmm. You know, so many other benefits. Mm-hmm. That is still very challenging to communicate.
Yeah. Right.
And it is one of the challenges that I'm here to solve with my new role as a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. You know, I really mm-hmm. want to help people understand that. So there's a lot. I mean, I've been attending so many informational webinars lately on all aspects of the real estate, mm-hmm. you know, component. I just attended one last week talking about the need for better education in the appraisal process mm-hmm. to ensure that these homes are valued appropriately so that you do get paid what it, you know, costs. Yeah. And then that can translate into the financial models mm-hmm. available, the mortgages, energy efficient mm-hmm. mortgages. Mm-hmm. And the banks are apparently, you know, really finally catching on to the fact that loaning money on a better built home is a better investment for them, exactly. lower risk for them, because right. the person's going to move in and, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to have lower utility bills, better chance they're going to continue paying their mortgage. They're not going to have to replace their roof in 10 mm-hmm. years, better chance they can pay their mortgage. You know, it all comes back to it. So that's the cost part. And then the complexity is it's just really about risk. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a very risky business. It's there are so many opportunities for things to go wrong. And so that is, again, something that I became very tuned into and trained on mm-hmm. working for production builders, risk mitigation, you mm-hmm. know, what thinking about everything that could possibly go wrong. And then mm-hmm. how do we hedge against that? Mm-hmm. And you know, the home is a system, you know, it's an organ, it's exactly. organic. Mm-hmm. And so knowing how to navigate all of the variables of the sticks and the bricks and the ventilation mm-hmm. system and the windows and the materials, and then all of the acute attention to detail that we mm-hmm. do need to pay once we introduce mm-hmm. high performance. It's just something else that is scary to people to manage and to mitigate that risk. So I think it takes partnership, it takes commitment, mm-hmm. it takes the ability to say, I don't know, I need help, which not everybody is good at. And it takes a lot of education of the what I call the boots on the ground. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, an architect and an engineer and all of these people that are involved early on, we can design and pencil out an mm-hmm. absolutely perfect home. Mm-hmm. But if the boots on the ground don't understand what they're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. that's where the failures mm-hmm. occur.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets back to, you know, my very early years of being in the field and understanding the challenges of managing people on a site when it's hot or it's cold, or they, you know, their tools are parked several blocks away. you know, they can't get to the house because it's muddy, or the dumpsters overflowing, like all of these little irritants mm-hmm. to the people that were asking to perform a really good job to build a really mm-hmm. good home. Mm-hmm. Even simple things like that can make a big difference in their day and their willingness to go that extra mile.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. So what are some of the basic things that you talk to your clients about in building, and both as, you know, on the worker side, the construction crew or construction company, as well as the result product, you know, as a home in inhabiting people? What are the basic things that you advise them with?
Well, I think The kind of topic headings are energy efficiency, health, and comfort, right? And that's a misconception as well. You know, people think green building, they think solar panels.
Right.
And green building is like solar panels, like the last thing you do.
Exactly.
You know, you got to get a whole bunch of other things right before you even bother thinking about it. But I just had a conversation with a real estate agent last week that she thought green building was just Energy Star. And I was like, no, you know, that's just one component. You know, there's all these others.
Right.
So I think that's the first thing, is really helping people understand that it isn't only about the energy use and lower utility bills. If I'm speaking to a builder, your homeowner, your client is going to be more comfortable. They're going to be happier. They're going to be healthier. You know, they are going to love living in this home compared to any other home, that is less than. And that is something that I think isn't top of mind for a lot of people when they think about green building. The health and comfort doesn't always come.
Right.
And of course, the water efficiency is a major topic of conversation in various parts of the country, you know,
especially where we are.
Yes, exactly. And so that is another key factor. I think, but what I mostly talk to people about is just that being proactive, that forward planning, that if you're going to take this on, it requires a different level of thinking and effort and potentially different people in the room. You know, having someone else to be a guide and be a support, and, you know, whether it's your HERS rater or your Energy Star rater, any consultant, you know, that works in this space, it's so helpful to have somebody along for the ride, at least the first time.
Right.
And you don't always have to invest in that additional support, you know, once you get over that learning curve.
Yeah.
But it really is a better experience to plan ahead and have a partner to help you plan ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're working with bigger builders, like the ones that you used to work for, national builders, once they have that mindset shifted and they are committed to building better homes, you know, sustainably, or, you know, implementing the green building practice, I would imagine that once they have it streamlined, you know, the business model would, you know, work very well. But do you have any case that you can speak of where smaller scale builders, you know, maybe who are building, you know, one or two homes at a time, how does that scale? And do you have any case where you were able to help them to solidify their business model in that way?
So I don't think I have a direct, I don't know that I have a client or a project that I've worked on to answer your question, but I, in preparation for talking with you today, I was looking for some case studies and looking for some resources to case studies. And there are several out there. And I think if, you know, people want to go to the NAHB, the National Association of Home Builders, their website has a link to a whole slew of case studies of builders who built to the National Green Building Standard. And these are, you know, 1 to 2 home a year kind of builders. And one of the themes, I think, to answer your question, what I saw in reading through some of those today is them talking about, for example, we only build a few homes a year, but, you know, each home we build, we generally use the same subcontractor and trade partners from one to the other. And so once we have made the investment to train and educate this HVAC contractor that, okay, this home is going to have all of this uniqueness. Let's work through that together.
Right.
The next project, you know, even if it's only one other home that year, that project is going to go smoother and better.
Right.
So I think that's definitely a benefit to, and a big part of the solution to this whole ecosystem of, you know, just finding more subcontractors who are readily available and as passionate about it as we are. And then as also for case studies, there's the Enterprise Green Communities. Enterprise is a, you know, committed to all affordable housing that is built to a green standard. And, you know, if we can do this with affordable housing, then there's just no excuse that we can't do it for all housing. And so the Enterprise website also has some really great case studies that they've posted. And yeah, it's, you know, I've been looking to find who we have here in the Pittsburgh market, for example, that's doing this, small and big builders. And it's really hard to find. And I think this is another opportunity for the industry to do a better job of talking about what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, there's a real opportunity to improve the marketing message and the value proposition. You know, that's what it's about, selling the value. And the building industry isn't always really great at that. And it's something that I think can really be improved.
Right. So you touched on something that's relevant, which is the, you know, the low income housing. Like you said, there's no excuse. If they can do a green building in low income housing, there's no excuse not to do it any other, you know, portion of the market. But I'm thinking that with low income housing, affordable housing, there tend to be subsidies and some grants and things available. And so I often talk about the missing middle. You know, like there's higher end products, meaning, you know, more higher end homes, especially in markets like Los Angeles or some other major cities. You know, you would see what, you know, what's considered high performance homes, you know, that can have all kinds of technology available, and they can use all the, you know, high-end materials that could be sustainable, considered sustainable. But I've always been interested in finding people who are doing that's kind of, it's in the middle, you know, the lower affordable housing and high-end housing. But in the middle, there's a huge chunk of market, and you know, builders and investors are churning out homes, a lot of homes. And those are the market that I really like to have impact on. I like to see impact.
Sure.
You know, what do you think are the challenges, and what do you think are the solutions that maybe you and I can help bring about in that missing middle? You know, how can we make that difference?
Yeah.
Or impact?
It is. It's challenging. I mean, the missing middle is like the, I've heard that term more than I would like to in the last 10 years, but you know, it really does continue to be a challenge. I think that some of the ways that we can address it are some of the things I've already mentioned. I believe that creating better value and helping the people that are involved in the financial side, understanding that. So not necessarily, again, subsidies, but just getting back to the basics of the appraisal and the mortgage industry and how they would be able to help make these numbers work better for the average American. I think also design is a big part of what I believe is a solution for the missing middle. The, you know, how many bedrooms do you really need? Do you really need that additional room? What is what is really going to be the most efficient design for your family at this point in your life, you know, creating flexible spaces, you know, that can be a home office one day, a guest room when people come to town, and a gym if it has to be, you know, depending on what's going on. So a home that you can grow with, you know, that you're not necessarily getting into and thinking that, okay, in 10 years when we've got a few more children, we'll have to upsize for the opposite. So I think those are some creative solutions. And then also in back to the value proposition, even if we can't get the appraisers and the mortgage lenders to help solve that problem, talking about it, just really showing the numbers ourselves, you know, to the people that are going to buy and live in these homes, and helping them understand the reality of their budget, what they can afford. Again, getting back to what most people are taught to hold in reserve in their savings to go towards homeowner maintenance and improvements. You don't have to hold as much of a bucket of money when you bought a home that was built really well. And, you know, you can count on a little bit more time until you're going to have to start replacing systems and reinvesting major dollars into your home. And so these are all, nothing that I just described is captured in a cost per square foot that somebody sees on a Zillow ad. That is completely buried. It has nothing to do with it. And that's what people are fixated on. And it really isn't telling the whole story.
And that's why you and I are having this conversation of informing and educating, because a lot of the things that we are doing in the green building sustainability, especially in the home, is invisible. It's inside the wall, or, you know, under the floor. A lot of things that we can't see. And if we can't see, people don't think about it. And that's why we are doing this. And I know you and I can talk about this for hours on end. With most of my guests, you know, we can talk on and on. But so I want to know, what's your vision for the future? What's your vision for Karen?
My vision is always just to build better housing, period. I mean, it's just two words, better housing, whatever that means, whatever I can do to support that is what I'm about. It's what I love to think about and talk about. Using my new, you know, credential and the new world that has opened up to me as a real estate agent, I have, helped to establish a sustainability working group in our local real estate association, and very interested in collaborating, you know, creating this ecosystem of folks here in Pittsburgh who are there to support one another and, you know, trusted, valued partners. And I would love to, you know, although I spent most of my career in new construction, I am very interested in the renovation of our existing housing stock. Pittsburgh has a lot of opportunity, we love to say here, to improve existing buildings that are, you know, 100, 150 years old. And so that is what I'm especially excited to be working on here. And because when we talk about sustainability and green and embodied carbon, the existing home is where it's at, right?
Exactly.
If we really are really, really paying attention to the full meta picture of embodied carbon, the current home is the greenest one to start with. And so that's what I'd really like to start working on and helping people with that. And I think, you know, my long-term joy would be that Americans talk about their homes HERS score like they talk about their cars mileage. You know, I just bought a car. It's a hybrid. I'm getting 40 miles per gallon. Like, I love to talk about that when I got my car and how excited I was. And wouldn't it be great if in the future, you know, we bought a new home. And if, you know, the first question is always going to be where, what's the neighborhood? Because it's always location, location, location. Wouldn't it be awesome if in the future, Izumi, the second question was, what's your home's HERS score? I don't know if that will ever happen, but that would be pretty cool if it did.
No, I think it could happen, you know, and then people can be comparing, okay, which certification do you have? Do you have Energy Star? Do you have LEED? Do you have Building Green? You know, I think definitely there's a movement. I'm so glad you mentioned the renovation part, because I was going to ask if, you know, the principles, the sustainable building and design principle that you guide your clients with, that can be scalable to renovation, correct? So in other words, as you said, I have also been really focusing on taking existing homes and making it more sustainable, green, however we want to call it, because those are the ones that are the, you know, those are the gold mines, those old homes that are, you know, that are 50 years old, but they have good bones. And if you can just turn them into a really sustainable, even regenerative homes, wouldn't that be great? And that's actually my vision. So I'm so glad to hear that. So you can actually scale your green building principles for new construction into renovation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I was excited to see just today that the National Association of Home Builders actually has a education webinar coming up on high performance retrofits, not high performance new construction. So I think that, you know, that was exciting to me to see that. And I think that the scaling is, it's a lot of the same process steps and considerations as scaling for new construction. It's finding trade partners that you can rely on. It's making a decision on a materials specification, going through all of the rigmarole to decide finally, you know, which flooring product you're going to use that aligns with your values and your goals. Once you make that decision, you know, hopefully that flooring product continues to be available and in stock and you can specify it on 10 more retrofits. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. And one other thing that I should have mentioned earlier with the whole value proposition and what we may not always talk well about is, as I said, the comfort and the health. And the health in particular is an area that I'm paying closer attention to these days. A lot of people are post-COVID. And again, when we talk about these existing homes, helping people understand what they might be buying in terms of what's already in that home that is not good for them. And how they can mitigate that, how they can include that in their decision-making process of buying home A versus home B. And then again, even getting back to the cost conversation, you know, the amount of money that a family might end up spending on health and well-being to combat an issue that is actually being exacerbated by the home they're living in. These are very interconnected issues. And very so, so if there's a, you know, a home buyer or a client that has, you know, asthma or other, you know, environmental sensitivities, this becomes even more important to talk about with them and help them understand.
So we are really moving into the mindset or paradigm, even if you will, of really looking at the home as a whole holistic system. You know, it's including how we sleep, right? And everything from light to water to, you know, the air we breathe and how we cook, and everything is included.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you and I didn't even get into the aspects on the outside of the home today,
That's
you know,
true.
The impact to the plants that you're choosing to use, and the way that your stormwater management is designed and, you know, composting and growing your own food. There's just, there's so much, so much more we could get into.
And it's in a way exciting that we get to really, you know, work with that. You and I are lucky to be in this position. Well, thank you so much, Karen. This was so inspiring. I know we can keep talking for long, but I am running out of time. So thank you so much for being with me, Karen. Thank you so much, Karen. And
thank
this was
you.
Izumi Tanaka with Home Green Homes Podcast.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate On Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI Real Estate On Air.